and we study all the way through it together. And so we've done that with Ephesians, we've done that with 1 Thessalonians, we've done that with Joshua. Today we begin the book of 1 Timothy, and man, I'm so excited about what we're going to learn together, the things that we're going to study. But today, kind of as an introduction to that, I want to introduce you to the person of Timothy. It's like if you're, have you ever get something in the mail? Like, this is not you. You know, you're looking at the address, it's like some stranger you've never heard of before. But it's addressed, you know, it comes in your mailbox. And you're thinking, man, this is from the IRS or whoever. I wonder who these people are. You ever wonder that? Or you get some, like, you can tell it's a check. And you're holding it up to the light to try to figure out how much money is this thing, this check for? And you're trying to figure out who are these people. Sometimes you may even go to Facebook or somewhere and try to stalk them and find out who are these people that have their mail sent to my house. Well, today we're going to read a letter that's written to a guy named Timothy. And so it'd be wise for us to figure out who Timothy is. And I think today is going to be an awesome introduction to our study. Because I think you can probably identify somewhere with Timothy's story, and maybe even know what you need to do next. And so if you got your Bible with you, turn to Acts chapter 16. If you didn't bring one with you, there should be one in a, I guess you guys are, this thing is not working. Is it on? No, it is on.
It's the slide.
It's just the slide. Okay.
They're not available. It's not found.
Huh. Well, how disappointing is that? We get this brand new projector here. Now we're having trouble with the slide. I don't know. All right, so we're going to track through this guy, Timothy. Let me tell you a little bit about Timothy, and you'll see some of this play out. But Timothy is a guy who was with Paul when he wrote a lot of the epistles, a lot of the Pauline epistles, the books of the Bible. He was with him. Listen to these. He was with Paul when Paul wrote Romans, when Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, when he wrote Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Other letters that Paul wrote are 1 and 2 Timothy, which are addressed to him, Galatians, where he served with Paul to start churches, Ephesians, where that's the city Ephesus, where Paul was sent Timothy to be the pastor of that church. And so every one of Paul's letters written to us doctrinally, the church, are written either in the presence of Timothy, addressed to Timothy, or to churches that Timothy has ministered in. And that's pretty amazing. This guy Timothy, he's not that popular when you think of people, popular people of the Bible. I thought I was singing. You thought I was singing, maybe. All right, so this guy Timothy, he's not really that popular when you think about Moses or you think about Jesus or Paul. But man, he is very influential. He's a huge character throughout the New Testament. And so I want us to take a look at him. I told you to turn to Acts chapter 16, right? Forget what I said. Turn to Acts chapter 14. Sorry. This is even before we come across this guy Timothy, but it's important to hear his story. So in Acts chapter 13, you don't have to turn there. Paul starts out on a missionary journey with Barnabas. And they go and they start churches in different places. In chapter 14, they get to a city named Lystra. Look at verse 6 with me. It says, they were aware of it. They knew that the people in Iconium were trying to kill them. So they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the region, that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. So this city, Lystra, we're going to find out, that's where Timothy lived. And he heard the gospel because Paul, even though he faced persecution in the city before, in Iconium, he came to the next city, Lystra, and he was faithful to preach the word there too. The same message that got him almost killed in Iconium. I mean, things weren't going good for Paul at this point, but he's sticking with it, and he's being faithful. He's being persecuted. Maybe he thinks there's not any results, but he goes to Lystra, and he preaches the gospel there, and some people receive Christ. Look at verse 19. This is how it happens, though, at the end of his stay in Lystra. And they came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, the places where he had been,
who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, that means they threw large rocks at him until he was dead, or they drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Maybe he was dead, maybe he wasn't. But verse 20 says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And so, it's not a good ending there in Lystra for Paul. He probably thinks, man, I don't know if this little church is going to survive or not. Some people have believed, but bad things have happened. I've been stoned, not like with drugs, but with rocks. And he says in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city, Derbe, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra." He went back to the same place where he was persecuted, and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's kind of the setup, all right? We haven't heard of Timothy yet. We've just heard about how the gospel came to his city, the city of Lystra. Let's figure out who this guy Timothy is in chapter 16. Now you can turn to Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 1. This is what it says. "Then came he," he's talking about Paul, "to Derbe and Lystra," it's places he had already been and preached the gospel. "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus." Now, Timotheus is the Greek name for Timothy. You'll see those names used, both of them, Timothy and Timotheus. Timothy is a disciple, it says. So maybe it happened that Paul taught there. We found out that his mother received Christ. And maybe she brought up Timothy knowing that. But it sounds like from other passages we'll see today that he actually received Christ when Paul was there preaching. He would have been a really young man, and he heard the gospel, and he received it. Listen to what it says about Timothy. He said that he was a disciple. So he's not just somebody who made a decision, and that was it. He continued in that. He was faithful. Even when people were being persecuted and killed for their faith, Timothy was faithful to live for Christ. He says also, he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, which believed. But his father was a Greek. So he's in a home, he's half Greek, he's half Jew. And he's probably not a practicing Jew, because we find out in the next verse that he's not circumcised. So he's probably not a practicing Jew, but when he hears the gospel, he receives Jesus. And this is what it says in verse 2. Talking about Timothy, "which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Here's the first statement that I want you to see. I don't know that it'll be on the screen. I don't think it will be, because things are troublesome right now. The first statement is this: you are called to be a follower. That's what the word disciple means. It means a follower, a student. And just as Timothy heard the gospel, and he didn't just make a decision and say, man, now I know I'm going to heaven. You're not just called to get fire insurance. You're called to be a disciple. And that may mean in the face of persecution. It may mean, even in our country, that people ridicule you because you've accepted Jesus Christ and you're going to live according to his word, and you're not ashamed to tell people the message of the gospel. It may be that you get demoted or fired from your job. It may mean that you get kicked, disowned by your family. I don't know. It may mean at some point in this country that you get killed because you choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But that's what Timothy was, and that's what you're called to be. More than just somebody who says, man, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to worship him, kind of in my own way, quietly. Timothy was a disciple, and everybody knew it. He was well reported of. He had a great reputation. People in the church knew who Timothy was, and he was faithful. They knew he was growing. And man, everybody in the church knew it. And you know, in our church, you can tell. Man, I know this person over here. They're here every week, and they're serving, and I see them teaching over here. I know they're involved in this training. And so you can see people who are faithful. This is who that guy Timothy is. By the way, if you're looking for somebody that We're going to talk about discipleship today. Maybe you're looking for somebody to be a follower that you want to lead in the discipleship relationship. You look for people who are faithful, like Timothy. Paul chose Timothy to go with him. And he did that because he was well reported of among the brethren. Even when Paul later writes to Timothy and tells him about training other men, he says that he's to choose faithful men who will teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. So that's a big part of Timothy's story. Let me just pause for a second. If the Apostle Paul was traveling around North Georgia and he was preaching the gospel, because a lot like the places he went, people are religious here, but they're lost. And he came in and he was preaching the gospel, and he came into Connect Church and he met some of us, and he looked and he said, "Wow, I'm looking for somebody to go with me." Would you have that faithful name? That he would say, "Man, I would choose you to go with me because you're so faithful in following the Lord. You're so faithful in attending and so faithful in helping the church and what you believe. Would God choose you?" He took Timothy. I don't know how many people were there, but Paul's been to many cities, and he took one guy with him, Timothy, because he was faithful. But I also want you to see from those, he was so faithful. You know what he did? He was circumcised at probably 18, 20 years of age. Okay, so this is not a surgical class, so we won't be having any pictures or anything. But circumcision is not a comfortable operation, right? And this is Acts chapter 16. And if you know a lot about the Bible, you know in Acts chapter 15, right before this, there was this big council in Jerusalem where Paul was there and Barnabas and all the apostles and the elders or the pastors of the church at Jerusalem. And they all made a decision. Do Gentiles or anybody, do they need to be circumcised to be saved? And the answer is no, they do not have to keep the law. They do not have to be circumcised. But now after that, in chapter 16, Paul tells Timothy, "I want you to be circumcised." What? That's not fair. I don't want to be circumcised. That's going to be painful. And it's not even scripturally required. But Timothy was willing to sacrifice for the ministry. I mean, Timothy's willing to go through this painful operation because he wants for God to use him. And that was the deal. In his area, there were lots of Jews. And they probably wouldn't respect Timothy as much if he wasn't circumcised, because they knew his father was a Greek. And so he's willing to be circumcised. Now, I'm going to tell you, if what you want, you're the life that you want to live, is to come into a church and sit down and be comfortable and not really ever do anything for God, but, you know, you'll kind of, "I'm a Christian." If that's what you want, you probably don't have to be circumcised. You probably don't have to make a whole lot of sacrifices for that. But if God's calling you to do something great, if God's calling you to be a minister, to be a leader, if God's calling you to be a Christian who shares the gospel and is well reported of, and he has fruit, disciples that he's leading, if that's who God is calling you to be, then it's going to cost you something. Did you know that? Being a follower, it always comes with a cost. Let me read to you what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Jesus said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it." Jesus says that it's going to cost something to be a follower. You know, even in Jesus' ministry, we think about the people who followed him. You know, some people came and they watched his miracles. Or they came and they listened to him teach. But his disciples always gave up something. Did you know that? Maybe you've read them before. Let me give you, I'm just going to read them to you. They're not up on the screen. Okay. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. He comes to Peter and Andrew. They're fishermen and they're in their boats. And he says, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men instead of fishers of fish. And they immediately left their boats and their nets and they followed Jesus. It cost them something. In the very next verse, he finds James and John, the sons of Zebedee. And he says, come and follow me. And they left their father in the boat and they came and followed him. In Mark chapter 2, he meets a guy named Levi or Matthew. And he's sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And Matthew arose and followed him. In John chapter 1 and verse 43, says Jesus came and he findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And he leaves his place. If you're going to really be a follower of Christ, I'm not talking about I call myself a Christian. I'm not even talking about you can go to heaven. Man, you could go to heaven. You can pray. You can believe in what Jesus did. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose from the dead. You call on him and you're saved. You don't have to do anything to earn that. In fact, you couldn't do anything to earn that. But if you want to live the fullness of what God has planned for you, if you want to get to the end of your life and have an impact like Timothy had, you're called to be a follower and it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to look at your priorities in life and say, I like doing these things, but I'm going to have to give some of them up if I'm going to follow Jesus with my whole heart. You're going to have to look at your budget and you're going to have to readjust. You're going to have to look at the way you spend your time and you're going to have to reprioritize. You're going to have to look at the way that you spend your effort and your energy, the things that you're allowed in, and you're going to have to make sacrifices. You may have to quit a job. You may have to move to a different place. Whatever it is God's calling you to do, listen, if you want to be a follower, don't fool yourself into thinking you can live like a non-follower and still be a follower. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, give up everything. Take up your cross. Come and follow me. You know, every single believer is called to not just go to heaven, but to be a follower of Christ. If you're going to live that out, it is going to cost you something. But I can promise you this, what God has planned for you is far better than what you're sacrificing. At the end of Timothy's life, there's no way he would ever say, man, I wish I hadn't been circumcised. Those few days of pain were more than this thing is worth. Absolutely not. And especially when he gets to heaven. For eternity, that's a trade he'll make over and over again. That was definitely worth it. All right. So what Jesus did with his disciples and what Paul did with Timothy is he just took them along with him. And he's doing ministry. In Acts chapter 16, we are there. Look at verse 6. It says that they went to Phrygia and the region of Galatia. That's like a whole region where lots of cities are that they went and they preached. Look at verse 12. It says, and from thence to Philippi, the book of, that we have called Philippians. It's to the church at Philippi. And in chapter 17, in verse 1, it says that they went to Thessalonica. And in 17, verse 10, it says that they went to Berea. And do you know, Timothy is never mentioned. From chapter 16, when he's circumcised, to all these cities that he's going to, he's never mentioned. Do you know why? Because he's not doing anything. That's kind of weird. We kind of think, man, you've come to be a part of it, man. Jump in there and start preaching, start sharing the gospel. But all Paul wanted Timothy to do was to watch and to listen, to observe and to learn. That's what a disciple does. He's a follower. He's a student. And that's what Jesus did with his disciples. When he said, hey, come and follow me. You know what they did? They just walked around with him. And Jesus would do ministry. He would teach. He would baptize. He would tell parables. He would do miracles. And they just watched. For the first while, all you're supposed to do is watch. So you can learn. And so maybe you're in personal discipleship. That's our first phase of our discipleship process. Man, you ought to be involved with your discipler. Follow them around. Find out when they're doing ministry and follow them. Jesus didn't make phone calls. They didn't have phones, by the way. He didn't make phone calls and say, hey, I'm going over here this day. Can you come with me? Man, they were with him all the time. You need to find somebody to follow, so that you can watch them do ministry, so you can see how God uses them. If you want to learn how to teach and preach, the gospel, then you should go with somebody who's teaching and preaching the gospel and watch what they're doing. If you want to learn how to comfort people who are in hospitals or who are in pain or who are sick or are going through tragedy, then you should go with somebody who does those things so that you can learn. If you have a disciple, you need to look for opportunities to take them and say, this is what we're going to do. You can explain to them, this is why I did this. This is how I did this. But most of it is just by watching. They learn that way. Disciples learn that way. Kids learn that way. You know, you never have to tell your kids. We have a bunch of little babies, or I call them babies. I don't know if technically if they are anymore. But they're learning to walk. And nobody got out a textbook and said, all right, kid, you're going to need to learn how to walk, so read this book. No. You didn't even sit down with them and say, now listen, Junior. I want you to stand up and swing one leg forward. Then transfer your body weight to this leg while you swing the other leg forward. Got it? Nobody does that. You know how they learn? They're watching mom and dad walk around. And then after a while, they start saying, man, I think I got these legs here. I should try this out. I'll try standing up. You know, and they do that for a little while. And then they start taking these super wobbly steps. Boom, and they fall. And they keep doing it. Do you know, making disciples is the same way. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. You know how they learned to do miracles? You know how they learned to preach? Do you know how they learned to baptize? By watching and listening. And then, in the middle, Jesus would take some time and take them off by themselves and explain what he was doing, why he was doing it that way. That's what real discipleship is like. And man, you need to be involved in that process. God's called all of us to be followers. In our world, in Western churches, when we think of discipleship, we think of Bible studies. When we think of training, we think of classrooms. But Jesus never had a classroom. He was taking his disciples with him. There were times when he sat down and he taught them, but there was much more time when he was just doing ministry and talking to them about why he's doing it, how he's doing it, and the scripture behind it. The first thing Timothy does is nothing except watch and learn. Sometimes in churches, somebody gets saved and they say, man, I need to teach. I'm a leader. I'm a natural born leader. But listen, disciples need some time to learn first. God may have gifted you with natural leadership skills. Man, I hope that's the case because, man, we need some leaders in this church. And there's leaders that we're going to need all over this country. You need leaders in your family, in your business, and that's awesome. But leaders can't be microwaved. It takes time for them to learn and to grow. And so wherever you're at, maybe you've never started into a personal discipleship where somebody walks with you and trains you how to do ministry, you should do that because God has called you to be a follower. That's what we see from Timothy. But look at Acts chapter 17. We talked about in verse 10 how they went to Berea. Now we finally hear from Timothy again. What happens when Paul's in Berea? You can read about it, but the Jews of Thessalonica came and they came to kill Paul in Berea. And so everywhere he's going, he's making enemies. And so Paul leaves, but look at verse 14. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And so the second phrase is this. Not only are you called to be a follower, you are trained to be a minister. The reason why Paul spent all those cities and all those walks and all that time training Timothy was so that he would do the same work. And so when Paul leaves, this guy Silas, who was his ministry partner, Paul leaves and it's an opportunity for Silas to be the leader. And it's an opportunity for Timothy to be a minister. To start doing the things he's been watching. It's because he's been paying attention to Paul. He's been watching what he's been doing. And he listens to how he teaches. And he watches how Paul takes the Old Testament scripture. And he reveals to Jews how Jesus is the fulfillment of those things. And he preaches that Jesus died for their sins and he rose again. And he goes into this synagogue and he preaches this message, and some people hate him and want to kill him, and other people receive Christ. And then he gathers them together and he starts a church and he tells them how they ought to live together. Timothy's been watching, he's been listening, he's been learning, he's been with him ever since. And so now Timothy is left behind with Silas to do the same thing that Paul usually did. That's an awesome thing. I don't know if you know that or not. But what you need to do when you're training a disciple is you have them watch and you tell them what you're doing, but then you've got to provide them opportunities to do that. And if you can't find a way to provide an opportunity, God's usually pretty good at that, right? Like persecution. Paul, they're going to kill you. You better leave. All right, well, you guys have been watching me, so now's your chance. But you need to provide opportunities for them to do what they're supposed to be learning to do. Right? That's what Paul has done. He's absent, so he's providing an opportunity for them to stay behind and to help the church grow. You know, that's the same thing that Jesus did with his disciples. You know, for a long time, all they did was watch and listen and learn and ask questions. But then eventually, Jesus said, you've been watching me do this. Now you go baptize some people.
Me? Baptize some people?
Did you know that they did that? So John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, but it wasn't Jesus who did it, but his disciples. Wow. He's having his disciples now. Not only are they just following, but they're doing the work of the ministry. In John chapter 6, when Jesus is feeding the 5,000, he doesn't just give the bread to the 5,000. He gives it to the disciples, and then they give it to the 5,000. And he's involving them in the work of the ministry. So this is the second part of the discipleship process. Not just to watch and learn forever, but then to be involved in it. To have an opportunity to participate in the ministry. That's what we see Timothy doing. Look at, you're in chapter 17, look at verse 15. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Okay, so he goes away for a while, and then he says, hey, Silas and Timothy, come meet me. Let's talk about how it went in Berea. And this is a big thing. Get it? If you're training a disciple, there needs to be some time where you say, hey, you know, I gave you this job to do. I asked you to teach this. I asked you to do this certain thing. How did it go? What was good? What was bad? How was it different than you expected? What's the greatest lesson that you take from this? And if they're doing some things wrong, or there's some things that they're not doing very well, you try to strengthen and help them get better. If there are things that they did great, you rejoice with them and say, hey, that was awesome. Keep doing that. That's what discipleship is about. And so sometimes, you remember that infomercial that was like, set it and forget it. I can't even remember what it's about. I just remember the line. I think it was like some kind of thing that would cook your food for you, and you just turn it on and forget it, you know. And sometimes that's the way people, leaders address delegation. They say, here, you handle this over here. I don't ever want to think about it again. But the way Paul did it is he said, here, you do this. Okay, come over, let's talk about it. How'd it go? Do you know that's the same thing that Jesus did in his ministry? When he sent his disciples to go do something, he sent them out to preach in Luke chapter 9, and then he called them back and he said, well, how'd it go? Man, there were some demons that we just couldn't cast out. And he says, oh, well, that kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Oh. And so he's continually training them. It's not just, okay, well, you're up to this level. Good luck. See ya. It's an ongoing relationship and an ongoing training that they have. Somebody gave me this phrase. I didn't come up with it, but it's helped me out a lot. Maybe it'll help you as a disciple maker or a ministry leader. You don't get what you expect. You get what you inspect. And so, if you'll just continue to follow up and help people to learn even more how to do the ministry, they'll do better. It's part of growing and learning, but you as a leader have to do that. Okay, so he continues with Paul in these different places. Now he's helping him do the work. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 5, he's in Corinth with Paul. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 19, he goes to Ephesus with Paul. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 22, Timothy and Paul, they go back to Antioch to report to his sending church. This is how our missionary journey went. And he gets to see that side of ministry. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 23, they leave again and they go back to Galatia. And they start going to those different churches and strengthening the churches and taking their pastors and training them some more. So now Timothy's involved in the work, not just watching and learning. All right, so you got these three statements. The first one is, you're called to be a follower. The second one is, you're trained to be a minister. So the reason why we do personal discipleship is so that you will then disciple someone else. The reason why we do ministry training is so that you will learn how to share the gospel and you'll share it to your coworkers. The reason why we do ministry training is so that you'll know how to teach and you'll know how to study God's word. And the third statement is this: you're selected to be a leader. So you're called to be a follower, you're trained to be a minister, and you're selected to be a leader. Do you know leaders don't just say, hey, I volunteer, I'll be the leader. Usually those are the people who don't need to be the leader, right? Lots of times those are the people who haven't learned to be a follower yet. And don't miss this, man. You'll never be a good leader until you're a good follower. Did you know that? It starts with being a follower. And some people, their pride gets in the way. And they only want to lead because they don't want to follow. Timothy follows just faithfully everywhere. Look at Acts chapter 19 and verse 22. Just kind of continuing with Timothy's life here. Acts chapter 19, verse 22. Timothy reaches this new stage of his growth where not only is he just participating with Paul, but now Paul sends him somewhere else. Verse 22 says, so he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. You remember before, Timothy was paired up with somebody who was a leader, Silas. But now Timothy is in that spot, and he's got a protege with him named Erastus. And so now Paul is sending him out and saying, okay, I've trained you. You know how to do these things. We've been through this. You remember all the things that we did in Thessalonica and Berea and Corinth and Ephesus and Galatia's churches? So I want you to go and you to do the same thing. And that's what he does. So he's a leader. Paul often sends Timothy to do these things. He sends him on these jobs because he trusts him. He's seen him follow him faithfully. He's seen him minister. He's trained him himself. And so he knows exactly what Timothy's going to do. And so when he sends him to Macedonia, one of the cities in Macedonia is called Thessalonica. I wish this was up on the screen for you, but Paul talks about him sending Timothy to Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 3:2. He says that he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So Paul saw this church and he said, man, these guys need to be strengthened and established. And they're facing a lot of persecution, so they need some comfort. And I can trust Timothy. Timothy, would you go to Thessalonica? And would you help that church? See, he was now not just a follower. He wasn't even just a minister, but now he's a leader that Paul can send and lead churches. You find this a lot. While Paul was in Ephesus or Philippi, one of the two, he sent Timothy to Corinth to help that church. They had lots of problems in Corinth. In these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, Paul talks about why he sent Timothy. Listen to what he says. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Okay, Paul's saying, follow me for this cause, so you can follow me, have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul knows, he says, he's going to bring you into my ways. He says, I want you to follow me. So I'm sending Timothy so you'll know how to follow me. He knew that if he sent Timothy, Timothy was going to do the exact same stuff that Paul did. You know how he knew that? Because Paul trained him. Paul's the one who mentored him. Paul's the one who showed him how to do ministry. And so he could fully trust Timothy understood what was going on. Well, kind of continues with this journey in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. Paul goes to Greece and he actually raises a guy from the dead. A story of a guy named Eutychus falls and he falls out from this loft and he dies. And man, Timothy gets to watch Paul raise a guy from the dead. In Acts chapter 20, verses 17 and through 38, Paul meets with the leaders of Ephesus. This will be important later. And he tells the pastors or the elders of the church at Ephesus, hey, listen, be careful. I'm going away. I don't know if I'll see you again. But be careful, because some false teachers are going to come in. When we get into the study of 1 Timothy, we'll find out those false teachers did come in. And it had a much bigger impact on that church than it should have. And so the reason why 1 Timothy, the book, is written is because Paul writes a letter to Timothy saying, hey, that church in Ephesus where I sent you, he's in Ephesus, these are the problems that you guys have, and these are some ways to fix it. But we see him continue this process with him. And man, Timothy's just faithful all the time, just following Paul. And there probably comes some time in your life where you become kind of like a teenager. Sorry, teenagers. But you know how, like, when you're 13 years old and all of a sudden your parents are idiots? They used to be the smartest people in the world. Now they're the dumbest people in the world. They used to be the strongest man in the world. Now they're the wimp. They used to be the prettiest woman in the world. Now they're old. Well, spiritually, people kind of go through adolescence as well. And sometimes you find people who say, you know what? That guy, he was good for a while, but you know what? I know more than he knows. Timothy wasn't that guy. In fact, Acts 21, man, you're not, it's up on the screen. Let me just tell you what happened. It's not on the screen. Let me just tell you what happened. Paul has decided he's going to Jerusalem. And there's a prophet of God named Agabus. And Agabus prophesies that if Paul goes to Jerusalem, he'll be bound. That he'll be imprisoned. And so Timothy and all the other guys on the team say, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. Let's not do this. Let's do something else instead. Let's go back to these other churches. And Paul says, no, I need to go back to Jerusalem. And you know who goes with him? Timothy. Even though Timothy knows, you know, he's going to be imprisoned, and that means I might be imprisoned. And he might get killed, and that means I might get killed. This is maybe the wrong decision. I don't know, but I trust that God has placed me under this man's leadership for a reason. And man, Timothy is just so faithful. He follows him even though he doubts and even though he knows there's danger. Paul continues when he goes into prison. The prophecy is true. He goes to prison, but Paul sends Timothy to Philippi. I wish you had these verses. Man, they're so powerful. Listen to what Paul says about Timothy to the Philippians. He says in Philippians 2, 19 through 22, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that like a son with the father, he served with me in the gospel. Man, just consider what he just said about Timothy. He wrote this letter to Timothy, to the Philippians. He said, I'm sending Timothy to you, and I want you to know I don't have anybody who's like-minded with me like Timothy. Our doctrine is exactly the same. Our philosophy of ministry is exactly the same. Our methods, the way we do things, are exactly the same. And I know if I send Timothy to you, it would be like me going to you. He's like my son, and I'm like his father. Man, that's a powerful testimony for this guy, Timothy. Can I ask you a question? Have you learned to be that kind of leader? That people would say of you, man, I know exactly what that guy's going to do. Because I know who trained him. I know exactly what he believes because I know what that guy believes. That's the way it was with Jesus too in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Jesus takes his disciples and he gives them a new name. He gives them the name apostles. And the apostle means a sent one. Just as Timothy was sent as a leader, now Jesus takes his disciples and says, you guys have followed and you've ministered, but now I'm sending you out. You guys are leaders. And you can do this work of the ministry. That's the way spiritual growth ought to happen. That's the way discipleship and training ought to happen. If you're discipling someone, those are the things you should be looking for. Someone who's faithful, who will follow. And then you need to involve them in the ministry so they can watch you and listen to you and learn. Okay. If you're a follower, you need to be diligent and faithful to learn everything that you can. Sometimes we are passive in our spiritual growth. You need to be active in your spiritual growth. So, I have something really cool I want you guys to be a part of with me, okay? So you guys know, everybody probably knows Michael. Michael leads worship for us, right? And God's called Michael into ministry, and he's committed that, man, I'll serve you wherever you send me. And he's talked about, if God wants to send me to another country, then I'll go to another country. If it means living in a totally different way, in a totally different culture, learning a different language, taking my family, I'll go. If God wants me to stay here, I'll stay here. You know, for a long time, Michael has worked like what people would call as a tent maker. It's because Paul, when he was traveling around, he would work and make tents to fund his ministry. That's what Michael's done. He's worked a job so that he can do what God's called him to do ministry. And he's turned down some jobs that would pay him more money, but that would interfere with his ministry. And he's chosen jobs that may give him less money, but provide him the opportunity to serve God the way God's called him to do it. And so it's an awesome thing having him here and seeing his faithfulness. If you know Michael, you know he's diligent. He's faithful in everything that he does. And man, as his pastor, I say, I can recognize God's call in his life. I affirm that I see it and it's true. And so what we're going to do as a church is provide Michael a next step to say, we believe that God has a plan for you. And we've seen your faithfulness, that like a son with a father, man, you have served and been submissive and you have faithfully followed and you've been diligent in doing ministry. And so what we're going to do is we're going to hire Michael as a church. We're going to hire him, and he's going to be an intern with us for a year. And the thought is that after a year, we believe God's got something more permanent for him. But this is a next step for him. And I'm really excited for him because I know that that's what God's called on his life. I remember me when I knew God had called me into ministry and I was waiting for God to open a door and wondering, you know, can I really serve God as much as I want when I'm giving him the best hours of my day to this company and I'm doing really nothing of eternal value? And so I'm excited for him, but I'm also excited for our church because he's going to be a tremendous asset to us as he can give his best hours to the ministry instead of just his nights and his weekends, which he has faithfully done. And you know, I'm also excited because there's people in our church who feel like God's called them into ministry, and it's very possible that you feel like, man, I feel like God's calling me into something, but I don't really know what to do. Now, I don't know what the next step is. And so let me just encourage you to do what Michael's done. To say, man, God's called me into ministry, and so I'm going to do ministry. And I'm going to find a job that lets me do ministry. And I'm going to arrange my schedule so I can do ministry. And I'm not going to have these things because I can't afford those things and afford to do ministry at the same time. Or whatever the case is, I want you to look at your life and say, has God called me into ministry or not? And if it means I work a job like the Apostle Paul, and then I do ministry when I can, then I do that. If it means that God opens the door for me to have a full-time job just doing ministry, well, praise the Lord. I'll give all my time to that. But I think it's a great example. If you feel like God's calling you, I encourage you to use that example and to see how faithfully he served and to do the same thing. That's what Paul did with Timothy. He took him with him. Timothy worked alongside of him. He served with him. And he said, hey, I know you can be a leader. I know I can trust you. All right, so let me kind of sum up what happens throughout the rest of the book of Acts. Paul's in prison. But all throughout the book of Acts, and even in his letters, Paul sounds pretty convinced that he's going to get out of jail. Even if you listen to when he stands before King Agrippa or some of the other rulers, the governors that he stands in front of, they say, you know, this guy hasn't done anything worthy of imprisonment or death. And he's a Roman citizen, and he'll probably get free. In fact, I would have set him free if he hadn't appealed to Caesar. But now he's going to go stand before Caesar, and Caesar will probably let him go. So he probably did let him go. And during that reprieve before Paul's second imprisonment, he goes back to Macedonia, and he goes to some of these churches, and he goes to Ephesus, and he says, man, those false teachers did come in here. And I can't believe that you guys have left all the doctrines that I taught you when I started this church. If you read Revelation chapter 2, it talks about the church at Ephesus, and it says that they left their first love. Man, they had the gospel, they had the truth, but they turned from it. And so Paul says, I got other churches to go see. But Timothy, I want you to stay here, and I want you to fix this church. That is where we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Because Paul, when he gets to Macedonia, he writes back to Timothy, and he says, these are the things that this church needs, and these are the things you need to know about how to do ministry in this messed up world. Man, I'm excited about going through it. Because you're going to see that what happened in Ephesus, man, it's like the same things going on in 2016 in churches that call themselves Christian churches. And what will come into our church if we're not faithful and diligent to hold on to what is truth. And if we're not faithful and diligent to treat each other the way God has commanded. And those are the things that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy. But let me ask you this. Who's your Paul? Who's the person that you look to as this is my leader? He's pouring into my life, or she's pouring into my life. She's investing in me. She's training me. He's training me. He's taking me afterwards, giving me opportunities. And then he's saying, okay, well, let's fix this and let's do better on this, and you're doing great on these things, and here's another opportunity. Who's that person? You know, we set up our discipleship ministry to do that, and sometimes it doesn't quite work out that way. Sometimes there are problems. If maybe you're involved in it and you feel like, man, I'm in personal discipleship, or I'm in ministry training, or I'm in leadership training, but I just don't feel like I'm getting that experience that I need. I don't feel like I'm getting the training. Come and talk to me, man. Let's get that thing fixed. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, man, you know, I've been doing the personal discipleship thing and I just haven't really put a lot of heart into it. I haven't been like pursuing it like Timothy did. I haven't been diligently faithful like Timothy. And I want to be, because I know God's called me to something and I want to live the life He has for me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never been involved in personal discipleship. You don't have somebody who would say, man, that's my spiritual father. That is somebody who is training with me and walking with me. And you want to do that. I encourage you to get involved in personal discipleship. You can do that. They're on your card, that little bulletin card. There's a place where you can mark, I want to know more about personal discipleship. Mark that. Maybe you've done personal discipleship and you've never done ministry training. And you think, man, I know God's called me to be a follower, but I need to be trained so that I can minister and I can make disciples and I can share the gospel, because I just don't know how to do that yet. Man, mark that on there. Say, just write it in. I want to do ministry training. Man, if you've done ministry training and you haven't done leadership training, God wants you not just to minister, but He wants you to lead others as well. And so, mark that on there. If you feel like, man, I feel like I just can't, I'm not growing, or I feel like I'm missing something, man, come and talk to me. Because I want for you to get to the end of your life and say, you know what? I know I messed up, and my name's not written in the Bible, but I gave everything I had to live for the one thing that mattered, like Timothy did. You know, at the end of Timothy's life, historians tell us that what happened to him was he was killed in Ephesus, 30 years after 1 Timothy was written. He was killed for being a Christian. and because he wouldn't give up the faith that Paul said, war a good warfare, hold on to that faith and the doctrines that I gave you. And he was faithful to the very end. I don't know when the end's coming for any of us or all of us, but I want you to be faithful. I want you to grow to be who God wants you to be, because he's got so much more than the distractions of this life can offer you. But the choice is yours of whether you're going to follow. Will you be like a Timothy? Who's your Paul? My second question is, who's your Timothy? Who's the person, if you've been discipled, who is the person that you're training? And are you spending as much effort and as much energy and intentionality into mentoring them as Paul did with Timothy? So much so that he invited him to come and live life with him. And everything he did it in front of him. And he trained him all along so that at the end he could say, when I send him to you, it's like me coming to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 says that you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. Man, in this world of churchianity that we live in, you can look up books, you can hear teaching, podcasts all the time, but we need somebody to father disciples. He then goes on to say, I want you to follow me. That's why I'm sending you Timothy, because he's my son in the faith. And no one's been as faithful as him. Who's your Timothy? Who's that faithful person that you're training and that you're leading?